Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. He is the faithful friend, the faithful God, the very present help in the time of trouble and need. And, you know, we often think of being in trouble when we are having to go through some distressful moment. But we can be in trouble when we go through beds of ease, when we have an abundance of this world's goods, when we're very talented. We can be in great danger, and so we need to be in much prayer for ourselves during those times. Why is that so? Because during the times that we find ourselves going through, sailing through, and having no difficulty, no struggle, we are prone to forget the Lord. We're prone to get out into the open, away from a place of safety, and drift on the open seas, and go into the storms without the Lord, go into a path where there is great harm and destruction. That is the way that we go when we go away from the Lord, or when we are full and say, I have need of nothing. And we know that we do not know at that time that we are dead and empty and vain and on our way to destruction. And so it's very important for us to be willing to call upon the Lord during those hours. But human nature being what it is, we just don't call upon the Lord like we should when the bills are all paid, when the children are doing well in school. We tell everybody else about what's going on, or we look down on others and wonder why they can't get things together like we've gotten them. That's generally the way it happens with us. And so we need to have the Lord's help in making decisions when things are going well for us. Don't leave Him out. It is so easy to do that. The glitter of bright lights and the promise of the material wealth, the easy way says, well, you don't need the Lord right now. You can handle this one. Now, the deception has been, well, Lord, you help me in this hard place and I'll get myself out the next time, or I won't bother you anymore. Now, those are not the words of a Christian who is in fellowship with the Lord. We know, as the song says, I need thee every hour, in joy or in pain. Now, we in pain don't have to be prompted to pray, because the pain has within it itself an element or a triggering device that makes us pray. But in joy, many times we will say, well, thank the Lord. But you know, you will enjoy the joyous moments when you have come from the room of the painful suffering. And you can thank the Lord. Again, I remind you of a time that we were in the military. When I was in the military, we were stationed in a place. Several nights in this particular location. And the mosquitoes there were so bad. I mean, they were terrible. All in your ear, all over your face, all night long. And it was a miracle if you could sleep through the night, with all of those, in spite of all of the insecticide that we sprayed on us. I think they sent so many that they died, and then once it was all eaten off, then they said the sacrificial ones, the kamikaze mosquitoes, have been gone, and now we can move in and for our fill. Well, one morning, one of the men slept through, and he got up and he walked around. He said, I slept all the way through. And all the rest of us who had been so miserable during that time, we sat down and we listened to him tell of how great his sleep was. Now, you'll come to places in your life when it takes something like that to make you appreciate small things. So we want to be mindful of the fact that we need the Lord, and we'll ask for his help before we have to go through the trial. Father, we ask for your blessings again today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, we've been talking to you from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, in which the Lord is telling us that certain people who have heard now have no cloak, no covering for their sin because he, the Lord, has come. And he came bearing the truth, preaching the truth. And these have heard. And now the Lord, as we close the program, we were telling you that the Lord knows what you know. Many times people will say, but I didn't see that, or I didn't know that. You may be able to tell someone that, you may be able, a child may be able to tell a parent, or, and then when there is a spouse, you hurt your spouse, and you say, but I didn't know that that hurt you. You knew it did, but many times you do, and but you are trying to get out of the situation, and so you'll say, but I didn't know that. Well, you won't be able to say that with the Lord. Or if you're driving in a car and you go through a neighborhood, you're driving too fast, the policeman pulls you over, and you say, but I didn't know that the speed limit was such and such. Now, you may have been in a hurry, or late going somewhere, and you were trying to hurry up, or we were trying to get by, but I didn't know that. And the police officer sometimes can show mercy, and other times he'll say, ignorance is no excuse to violation of the law. Here's your ticket. See you in court on such and such a day. Well, those are he doesn't know if we know, and so you go to court and you try to prove certain things. But the Lord knows what you know. He knows the truths you've handled. He knows that to which he has allowed you to be privy to, and you must answer. We will answer him based upon what we do know. He says, if he had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Now, what do you say about the Lord Jesus? Either you accept him as God, you accept him as God's Son, you accept him as the only Savior of the world, or you reject him. Now, there is no middle ground. You cannot say you're neutral about him. If you have not accepted him, you have rejected him. You see, there is no third place to which people go when they die. The ones who have Christ and who are in Christ, who are saved, go to heaven. The ones who are without Christ, when they die, they go to a devil's hell. That is the fact of Scripture. Now, there is no third place. It's not a place for those who say, well, you know, well, I'm just neutral about this matter. No, there's no such thing. You either are in Christ or you're out of him. Remember when Noah built the ark? There were people who said, you know, I plan to get on that ark, but they waited too late. When the flood came, they had good intentions. They were still on the outside of the ark. No matter how many times that they had said to themselves, I really plan to be on the ark. When the Lord waited 7 days, had he called Noah, come thou and thy house into the ark? The Lord was saying to Noah, you come to where I am. I have judgment out there, outside the ark, and I'm waiting. Noah had been a righteous preacher, was a righteous preacher, preaching for all those years, starting from the time he was 480 years old. Flood came in the 600th year of his life. And so the Lord called him in. And the ones who were inside the ark were safe. Those who remained outside the ark were not safe, no matter how good their intentions were. Now, if you're in Christ, you're safe. If you're not in him, you're not safe. You may say, but, you know, I'm not as bad as the others, but are you in Christ? I haven't done as much as such and such a person has done. Or, I've done a lot of good works, but are you in Christ? Are you trusting him? Is he in your heart? Have you placed your faith and hope and trust in Christ Jesus the Lord? Again, another illustration is this. When Lot left out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he left his family behind except for his wife and two daughters. There were those who were in the city, and perhaps some may have said, you know, I really think Lot is a... After all, he came in to sojourn among us and wound up becoming one of our leaders among us and one of us. And, you know, he is telling us to get out. But, you know, we plan to do so. We'll get out tomorrow. We'll pack our bags tonight, and tomorrow we'll leave. Because, after all, you know, he doesn't live like we live. And so if there were those who did stay there and live in that city after Lot left, after he left, when he left, same day that he left, it rained down fire and brimstone, judgment of God fell. There were those, perhaps, who were planning to get out, but they were not out, and so judgment fell upon them. So again, it's clear, either you're in Christ or you're not. You need to be saved. If you're in Christ, you are saved. You put your faith and trust in Christ. Now, notice I'm not saying you need to join a church. You don't see, churches don't save you. I didn't say you need to join a religion. I didn't tell you what denomination you need to join, because denominations don't save you. Christ Jesus the Lord saves you. Christ died for our sins. I didn't tell you to go to such and such a preacher. Christ died for our sins. He's the one that paid the sin debt. Now, if you reject Christ, guess what you are doing? The scriptures make it clear. If you hate Jesus, you hate God the Father. If you hate Jesus, you hate God the Father. You say, but I don't hate God. I don't hate Jesus. You don't. Why are you calling him a liar? Say, I'm not calling him a liar. Why have you not believed on him? Why have you not received him? If you don't have him, you shall die in your sins. If you don't believe on him, you are an enemy. You are telling him that his work is no good. You're telling him that he is not needed. The Bible tells us that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And if you're rejecting the Son, you're saying that God did a vain work in sending Jesus because he didn't need to save you. You are a pretty good fella. That's what you're telling the Lord God of heaven when you reject his Son, and you will have to give an account to God for that. The Lord says, now if you hate Jesus, you hate the Father also. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. So the Lord Jesus knows the condition of your heart. He knows the condition of your heart. And so as you hear this, you come to him. You are coming to one who knows the condition of your heart. Give him that sinful, vile, filthy, rebel heart of yours, asking him to forgive you for being a rebel, sinful, vile, wicked man or woman. Ask him to forgive you. Believe on his finished work on the cross, trusting that he will receive you, that he is the Son of God, that he died and rose again, that he paid the sin debt in full. Come believing, receiving him, and he will receive you, because he knows what's in you. He knows your heart. He knows the work he came to do. He came to save sinners. When you come admitting, confessing to him that you're a sinner, he will save you. Won't you let him save you today? Won't you put your faith and trust in Christ today? You're miserable? Come to the Lord for the peace that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gives. Now, Father, we ask for your blessings today upon your word. For Christ's sake, amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina at 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville, zip code 29609.